Good to have y'all in the audience. Amen. If you're visiting with us and you're experiencing New Testament pattern worship, we sing, amen. We use our vocal cords, that's the instruments. No mechanical instruments of music. We'll pray and we'll give collection. Play will go around once as you witness, and we'll take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and we will baptize those who believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. Amen. We believe that he died, and we believe that he shed his blood. And in baptism, that blood, you contact that blood, it'll wash your sins away, and that same blood that same blood purchases his church. His church is his wife. He's the husband, and she wears his name. It's the Church of Christ, and that's the only church you read about in the Bible. According to the Bible, to save the in that church, and that's all we'll ever say here. We'll never say anything different than what the Bible says. We're going to stay with what the book says. Amen? How many of y'all believe the Bible is right? Amen. I believe the Bible is right. So this morning, because we had overwhelming response to last afternoon sermon and a request to bring it to the morning service, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this, that. This sermon is entitled, This One Thing I Do. This One Thing I Do. I want to confess up front that after 34 years of preaching, I've never done this one thing. I've never lived this one thing. I never thought about it like this, like I'm presenting to you. And it has made a significant difference in my life. I hope it will help you as much as it has helped me. And I pray that I can deliver it in a way that you'll get the full meaning of this study. You can go ahead and put my board up. This one thing I do. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to go slow pace with this so you can take notes. I think you should take notes. If you haven't been taking notes, I think it's a good time to pull your pad out and take notes. I think this will bless your life, young or old, if you take heed to it. I preached this sermon, I preached this text many times. I ran right over this part. Never looked at it. So that tells you that when you study the Bible is alive. It's always giving you what you need. God is able to give us what we need when we need. I just believe God gave me this. And I've been passing it on to my children, my nieces and nephews, uncles and siblings, my family. I've been just telling them this is the way, this is how we deal with life. This is how we deal with life. This is how we deal with what? Life. Paul says, brethren, Philippians 3:13, I count not myself to have apprehended. But
this one thing I do.
See, right there. I read over that so many times that I never thought about. Paul is saying, out of everything in my life, this one thing I do. One thing I do. What you do, Paul?
Forgetting those things. Which are behind.
Which are behind.
And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling
of God in Christ Jesus.
So Paul says, the one thing, and I did it last week, and I pray you can get, you listen to this one and that one if this one doesn't help you, but you know, you never can preach a sermon the same way. But I think the points are going to be the same. This one thing I do, he's talking about his life. And this is how we're going to look at it, his life. Let me give you some points of consideration, points you want to write down for this to really soak into your mind. If you're taking notes, the first thing to remember in this one thing he done was this. He lived in the present. To live in the present was the one thing Paul done. It's the one thing I haven't done. To do that, you got to think like this. Your past is always an unchangeable experience. Point one. Our past is always an unchangeable experience. Number two, We are always in the present, leaving a past experience. Always where? In the present, leaving a past experience. Third point. The past is a memory, and the future is a mystery. Say it again. The past is a memory. The future is a mystery. Point four. You can only learn from the past. Your past. You can never learn from your future. Number five. Your future is a reach, but untouchable. Your future is a reach, but untouchable. The idea is that you're running a race, and there's a finish line, and the race is never finished until you cross it, the line. So before you cross it, you're just reaching to get to the finish, but you're not there yet. You're never in the future. You're always in the present. But you're reaching for the future. Future is a reach, but untouchable until it's in your present. Verse 14. What Paul said there.
I press toward the mark.
I press. That's that press toward the mark.
For the prize.
Go back to verse 13. He says,
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
Yeah.
But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind,
okay,
and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
There's a reaching right before. Now, here's what he's saying. The forgetting is not loss of memory. It's neglect in that word in the Greek. It means to neglect. So what you're saying is neglect to bring your past into your present. Leave it in the past and neglect it. Notice this. You will always, point six, you will always finish in the present. You will never finish in the future. You'll always finish in the present, never in the future. You will always, number seven, you will always die in the present. You will never die in the future. That's just a discussion. You die right now, that's present. That's not tomorrow. But yesterday you could have said, I could die tomorrow. That's a discussion. But death only happens in the present. In 1 Corinthians 15:32. Yes, death is in our future. 1 Corinthians 15:32. Listen to Paul.
If after the manner of man,
yeah,
I have fought with beasts in at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
When?
Tomorrow.
So you eat and drink today, but you already know I'm gonna. So I know I'm gonna die. But what he's saying is, what I'm saying to you all is, it would happen in the present, but you better know it's in your future. So, Ecclesiastes 11:3 says, where the tree fall, that's where it lay. So once, and here's your life. Here's your life. It's your present right here. This is past. This is future. It makes sense? This is your life. This is what we call the now time. So what he's saying is we live right here. This is a mystery. The past is what we forget or what we neglect. So let's look at your past life, our past pain, our past experience. Life is in God's time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Turn there quick. Solomon says, to everything there is a season and a
time. Every purpose.
Now watch what's going on. All this is going to happen in your past, and it can happen in your present. But you don't know how it's going to be in your future. But look who's in control of time, of your life. A time
to be born.
Every purpose under a time to be born. You see that on the board, don't you? Hello? Yes. A time to
die.
That's there, ain't it? All right, read.
A time to plant.
Plant.
And a time to pluck up that which is planted.
Yeah.
A time to kill.
Kill.
And a time to heal.
Heal.
A time to break down.
Break down.
And a time to build up.
Build up.
A time to weep.
Weep.
And a time to laugh.
Laugh.
A time to mourn.
Mourn.
And a time to dance.
Dance.
A time to cast
away. Think about your life now. You have you danced? Have you laughed? Have you mourned? Have you weeped? Have you killed? Have you eaten? I'm not talking about killing people. I'm talking about kill eat. Time to
cast away stones.
Get rid of things.
And a time to gather stones.
Gather things up.
A time to embrace.
Hug people.
And a time to refrain from.
Don't hug them.
A time to get.
Get what you need.
And a time to lose.
Give away some stuff.
A time to keep.
Keep it.
And a time to cast
away. Casting it away.
A time to
rend.
And a time to sow. Tear it up.
Time to put it back together.
A time to keep silence.
Time to shut up.
And a time to speak.
Time to talk.
A time to love.
Love.
And a time to hate. A time of
war
and a time of
peace.
What profit had he that worketh and that wherein he labored?
What all that happened in your life? Read.
I have seen the travail.
Now, that the pain come.
Which God had Hold given.
Up. Now, he said, now, I have seen all that time you live. There's some pain came with it. And Solomon said, I have seen the travail, which is the pain of the life of the human being. Read.
Which God had given to the sons
now,
of man.
Now, notice who had control. Who allowed all this stuff to come into your life?
God.
It was God. God had, Solomon said, God had made every, he said, for I have seen what God has given to the son of man to what?
Exercise.
To deal with it. So God is saying, I'm giving you pain. I'm going to give you the travail of life. And you got to deal with it. You can deal with it with God, or you can deal with it without God, but you got to deal with whatever time brings. If it's time to cry, you can not want to cry, you don't want to mourn, but when God says time, guess what's going to happen? You're going to cry. It's a time to mourn. It's a time to weep. And there's a time to laugh. But whose time is it? Listen to the next verse.
He had made everything beautiful in his time.
Whose time?
His time.
It's God's time. So get the first thing, while you're living, remember who's in control of time. You are on God's time. God said be born. God will say when you die. And God will say what happens in your life. You have to say, I will serve God my whole life. Listen to what he says.
Also, he has set the world in their heart.
Uh-huh.
So that no man can find out the work that God make it from the beginning to the end.
Mystery. Read.
I know that there is no good in them.
Uh-huh.
But for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life.
In where?
His life.
This is about your life. You do good in your life. Read what he says. Also that every man should
eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God.
What God give you in life is his gift. Read.
I know what whatsoever God doeth, it shall be for forever.
Yeah, read on.
Nothing can be put to it,
yeah,
nor anything taken from it.
Okay, read.
And God do it that man should fear
before him. Now God put this stuff in our lives for what? That we can fear before him. Read.
That which had been is now.
That which had been is past. Watch
what here it comes. And that which is to be.
He said that has which been is now present and
hath already
that
been.
That which to is to be.
Hath already
that's
been.
Future. And God requires
that which is past.
See what happens in your life. God is saying, what did you do with this past? Now, God's answer to your past is forgiveness. He wants to forgive everything you've done wrong in your past so you don't die in your sins in your future. So God's answer to your past is forgiveness. Not to relinquish your pain. He put pain in our life for a purpose. And I'm going to get to that here when I get to the experience. But the beginning of this lesson is getting is that understand who time you own. Is that we are on God's time and you ain't got no control of what's going to happen. You can't undo the past. You can't redo the past. You can't rewind the past. You can't go back and change the past. You can't make the past worse. You can't make the past better. You can't handle nothing but right now. So most of us are filled with anxiety and worry and all this because we are not living in the present. Our past is controlling our present. And our future is controlling our present. Making sense? But notice he says, God requires what?
That which is past.
What comes into judgment will be this. Did you get that corrected? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We're to fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whatever what secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Y'all see that? You got the picture. Whether they ever draw anything else or not, you saw the beginning and the end of it, right? Just view God as the helicopter over the parade of your life. He see the beginning of it, he see where you are right now, and he see your future. You can't see nothing but right now. You know, when I was going through my pains, and I'm still going through them, but I'm much better than I was. But I was saying things like, man, you know, one moment at a time, one thought at a time. But I want to show y'all something. What God is saying, let's go to James 4:13. Let me show you something. I'm jumping. James 4:13. 14 through 15.
Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain.
Okay.
Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow.
Now notice what he said. The word is what? Morrow. That's future. Then he says what?
For what is your life?
Now then he go back to life. It is even
a vapor that appears for a little time.
A little time life appears.
And then vanishes
away.
And
then what? It vanishes away. Now then he goes in to say next verse.
For that ye ought to say.
Now here's how you live life. You ought to say,
if the Lord will, we shall live.
See, there's no, you have no control of life. He said, we ought to say, if the Lord what?
Will. We shall live or do this.
Because of the fact that you're on God's time. And God don't want you out there in the future. Living in the future, because the future ain't yours. All you have is right now. And what I'm saying is, now means today, not tomorrow. So today, it seems to me that as I study this, it's almost like the sun going up and sun coming down, which Ecclesiastes chapter 1. That's how God determines our life when we lay down to sleep. He said, don't go to sleep angry. So there's somebody going to sleep and waking up to another day. So everything is about days. My present is today, this day. Good can come in this present day. I can cry today. I can laugh this morning, get a call today at 12 and cry. I can mourn at 2. So it's all happening today. So present means today. I could die today, not tomorrow, today. Y'all with me? So then Jesus come back in Luke Matthew 6:34. And he's really talking about anxiety. And I can go get last week's and I dealt more detail. I'm just trying to lay out I'm trying to get the concept in the mind of the people today. That's all I'm trying to give. Because the morning crowd won't come back the afternoon. Y'all won't come back for the other stuff. So I have to give you a conceptual thought today. That's all I'm trying to do. So maybe you're intrigued enough to come back this afternoon. Because afternoon say it's dealing with what drives this past, what drives this living in the present. And when you start getting serious about life and know some stuff is on the way, like some bad news coming, there's some bad stuff coming. And Jesus saying, you can't handle it. Listen to what Matthew chapter 8. Don't worry about that, man. We'll buy a new one. Praise the Lord. Look what Jesus said. Matthew. Listen, Matthew. Watch what Jesus said. Watch what he says.
Take therefore no thought for tomorrow.
That's what he says. Y'all see? So everything, Cecile, is here. God said, living this life is in the present, the way I'm thinking. So we were, we're spasming. So you know, did that to me, I did that, all that happened, all that, I know that, but no. See, all that's messing up your present. Today is May what? This day is not November day, Tommy. Yeah, now I bring myself into the picture, see what I'm saying? And many of us are us including myself, on medications because we have not learned to live in the present and not let the past drive us crazy today. And then when we start living this life, and the world teaches us to take set all these goals and all that's great, setting goals, nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm talking about. But the way I think, I must think about what I have right now. Thank God I'm awake. Thank God I can breathe. Thank God. You know, you can just thank God for everything. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I just thank him for a whole lot of things right now. But when I'm spasming, I'm in the past, I'm in the present, I'm in my future. Oh, what I'm going to do? How I'm going to keep my lights on? How I'm going to pay my bill? How? But when I get it, it ain't how, it's who. Told somebody ought to say amen. Well, I'll tell you something now. If it doesn't affect you, that really don't bother me. Because for me, it is like almost like a revelation, even though God don't reveal. He revealed through his scriptures, not a revelation from God talking to me and nothing like that. No, I'm not like those guys. I ain't trying to fake nothing. I'm just telling you, if you study the word of God, it'll give you information. Now, can you take it and use it? Because it's knowledge. So you're spasming. You're in your past and you're in your present and you're in your future. You can't handle it. Listen to what Jesus said. You can't handle it. This is what Jesus says.
For tomorrow shall take.
Go back to this verse before.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
What are we seeking doing this present? Always seeking who?
God.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness. What he said now? Watch what he said.
And all these things shall be added
unto you. Everything else is taken care of. We can relax our minds and not be so stressed out and so worried about stuff that we can't undo, we can't change it, we can't repair it, we can't fix it, we can't make it better, we can't make it worse because it's in our past. And Jesus said, no, don't deal with that. And then what he says,
take therefore no thought for the morrow.
Now, listen to him.
For the morrow shall take thought for the
things of itself. If we going to listen to the master, shouldn't we listen? He's saying, take little thought about tomorrow. He didn't say that.
No.
What did he say?
No thought.
He said zero. Jesus said, don't go out there in the future. This is Bible, y'all. It's in our Bibles. And many of you are in your future trying to figure out how you're going to do, what you're going to do, to what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. Read.
For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself.
Now, tomorrow deals with tomorrow on its own. You ain't got to know who's in time, who's in time. Who's doing that? God. He said, I don't need you thinking about that. Here's what he come on and said. He did, he nails it.
Sufficient unto the day
sufficient.
Is the evil
I mean,
thereof.
That means enough. What he's saying, y'all, is, he said, notice what he says. Sufficient unto the minute.
The day.
Uh-uh. Sufficient unto the hour. No.
The day.
What he's saying, y'all, is what we have to deal with is what's going to happen to us today. And Jesus said, that's enough to think about. So many of us can relax our thoughts when we start living in the present. And then you'll be like the birds. They don't worry. This is the verses all before you. That's last week. You can go get it. You can read it. Then you'll be like the flowers. They grow up, be beautiful, go down. They don't worry. God raised them. They're beautiful flowers. Who took care of the flowers? Who took care of the birds? Why they don't worry? Because they ain't thinking about no past and they ain't thinking about no future. They just little birds chirping in the they created, taking care of them. Present, past. So once we're in the present, what happened to our past? It's an experience. I never lost a wife. That's now an experience. You never went through divorce, but now it's an experience. You never dealt with cancer, but now it's an experience. Cancer ain't in your future. Cancer had to happen in your past, and you're dealing with it in your present. So what do God want me to do with it? In Romans 5. Now some of y'all say, Brother Brooke, talk so fast. How I'm doing this morning? I'm still talking fast. I can't win for lose. I can't win. I'm talking too fast still, oh Lord. It'll take me 2 hours preaching, sir, but slow down. I still talk too fast. Let's read Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith,
we have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Read.
By whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand.
You got to believe it, that's all. Read.
And rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Yeah.
And not
now,
only,
now he said rejoice in what?
The hope.
Notice the word rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Read on.
And not only so.
Not only so.
But we glory in tribulations also.
How we glory?
In tribulations.
That's the travail. That's the pain. What he's saying, how am I glory in losing someone I love so dearly? How am I glory, God, when I'm going through this terrible divorce? How am I going to glory when I'm in a marriage that's failing? Why are these pains in my life? How am I glory? He's saying glory in those tribulations. Watch what he says.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Because what I'm doing is working on you, your patience, read.
And patience experience.
And now going through it, I'm going to give you an experience.
And experience hope.
And from that experience, going to be hope. Read.
And hope make it not ashamed.
And hope make it not ashamed.
Because the love of God,
is
shared abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
So I glory in tribulation because I take this. Go to 2 Corinthians 1:3 now. I'm going to take the past pain, and I'm going to deal with it with God. I'm going to give glory to God, and here's how I'm going to do it. Because you can't have an experience unless you go through it. Okay, this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:3. He said, blessed
be God, even the Father of
our Lord Jesus Christ,
the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort.
And watch what he says.
Who comforted us in all our tribulations.
Who was there with you when the death occurred? Who was there with you when you got the news from the doctor? Who was there with you when you were going through the trauma, the pain, the disappointment, the failure, the mistake, the fall, the sickness, who was there? God said, I help you during your tribulation. Now he says,
that we may be able to.
The reason I did it for you was so that you could
comfort them, which
comfort
are in more,
others
any trouble.
Who are in trouble. So God expects us to take the past experience and help somebody else. And when you help somebody else, they're going to say, Brother Brooks, you look like you're doing good. I said, man, nobody but God. I see you hanging on. You ain't gave up. I see things. How you feel? I'm doing. With the help of God, I'm going to be all right. I mean, what's going on, Brother God? God got me through it. Yeah, I didn't know how, but I knew who. I never left God. I held on to God. I kept God first. And I tell you, if you put God first, the pain will come, but God gonna get you through it. Now I'm taking my pain and my experience and I'm using it to help somebody else. You say, well, brother, but y'all getting the message? And so God is saying, look here. The other person, if I can use my board, will be below this top one. So visualize in your mind. There's another soul that God looks at other than you. And he looked at that soul as another soul. And so he said, now, you know, I forgave you of everything you done in your past. You got it? And if I forgave you of everything in your past, if you can't forgive the other soul, that's Sunday night, I dealt with that one. Indeed, it's called forgiveness. It's called forgiveness. Jesus said, your heavenly Father will not forgive you either. So God is saying, your past is what you asked me to forgive. How dare you expect me to continue to forgive you when you can't forgive the other soul? My son died not just for you. My son died for every soul. And God, Jesus said, your heavenly Father will not forgive you if you don't forgive your brother. So God is saying, past forgiveness comes to you, and I expect you to give it to the other person. Otherwise, your past will be required. And what he's saying is that on judgment, you will give an account. You will give an account of your past. You will give an account because you allowed the past. I'll give you an example. Well, you know, I understand, you know, I come to worship, but I go the other way around the person. I just can't, you know, I just can't do them. They don't, you know, you feel me? I can't do them. I just can't do them. I know. No, you can't forgive them. That's K-I-R-A with this. What does that mean? Keep it real. Our way. You walk around them, you don't speak to them, you hate them because you haven't forgiven them. But guess what? That's coming up on judgment. It's coming up on judgment. Every one of us need to understand what God is saying. I give you this right now, you can be all right with me. But you bring that past into this present, let it drive your present, and you can't forgive the other soul, I would deal with you on judgment. You know, if I were God, I would be the same way. I wouldn't let you get away with that. And you shouldn't want to get away with that. You should want to forgive. Amen. So that's forgiveness. So we got past life. Expect to be the forgiven. Don't bring that past life into your present and live with it. Some of you can't get rid of your past because guess who you didn't forgive? Yourself. Some of you are living with things you've done in your past. It's haunting your present because you never forgave yourself. And if you ain't going to ever forgive yourself, you ain't going to forgive the other soul. Because if your soul has no value for forgiveness, then how are you going to give someone else's soul value of forgiveness? That past pain must be dealt with. What do you mean by this? Here's the analogy. If someone has a deep wound, now you and my sister, she had a deep wound in her hip that got infected. And what they had to do was go in there and cut out all the infection. Cut it down deep, 6 inches, 8 inches down into her hip. To get all the infection out of it. And then they packed gauze in it. They packed it in there with antibiotics to kill the infection. And then periodically they had to take that old gauze off. And when they started removing the old gauze, she had to experience the pain in order to get the healing. So when they kept taking it out, she would be in pain, but it was necessary to deal with the pain to get the healing. And they kept repeating that, and the more they dealt with it, the easier it was upon recovery. Eventually, the last time they packed it, it didn't hurt. And because the pain, the infection had been healed, and it healed from the inside out. And so now it's a scar, and when she touches it, it don't hurt. It's just a memory. See, some of you got pains and wounds that you ain't never unpacked. And that's why some of you won't come to Greek class. You don't want to deal with it. Oh, no. I don't want to face it. No, that's why. You're not healed. You're not okay. You know, and I wouldn't have said this before. I didn't know. I didn't know what. There's a difference between grief and mourning and bereavement. Grief happens to the person who's attached. And they go into this dark room. They can't feel their way out. They don't know how to help. And all kinds of things start happening in their life. A person who will mourn, they'll come to the funeral, they'll cry with you, and they'll cry at the day it happened, they'll cry with you then. The funeral's over, they go to the graveyard, bury the loved one, they come back and eat chicken, and life goes on for them. Because all they did was mourn. But that child who lost his mama, go home with that mama. That man who lost his wife, go home without his wife that night. That mama who lost her child, go home without her child. And that mama starts to grieve. She started to become confused. She started to get hurt. She's sorrowed. She's crying. People say things like, oh, she's in a better place. That didn't help grief. That didn't help grief. Grief was related to the loss. Not her eternal well-being. We need to be educated on how to help people. And God, I confess I wasn't. But some of the mistakes I made, I'll never make them again because I done felt it. People who loved me, thought they was helping me, made harsh comments to me where I thought was harsh and my response was rude. Why was my response rude? Because I was in a dark room of grief. I didn't know what I was doing. Just like theirs was very innocent. They was trying to help me, but they didn't know how. You know why you can't help somebody with experience you ain't had? Learn how to help. Wisdom is principle. But all you'll get and get an understanding. I'm saying to some of us, The reason you ain't no better 10 years later because you never got help. Get help. Quit running from your pain. You got to lean into it. In other words, you got to deal with the pain. You got to face the pain. And you got to take the pain as an experience that I'm going to bless somebody with because I'm a child of God. Not only that, you got divorces. You got people who've been dealing with mental thoughts that messed their head up, that messed their marriages up. Can't get past these sexual thoughts and all this stuff going on. You need help. You know, divorce is much like a death. Be careful about how you talk to people who had a recent, that was the person they loved you. Well, he was no good anyway. You ain't better. No, that woman loved that man. How you going to tell them he don't deserve, you know what? That ain't why she crying. She crying because she lost somebody she loved. Okay, let me get to the last little piece. I'm done. God, let me make sure I read it right. I'll write these quotes down for y'all and send them to you if you want me to. Y'all want me to do that? Let me give you this last one I want to make. God is always, listen to this. God is always present in your present. Y'all get it? God is always present in your presence. In your present. He's present in your present. Is that two different spellings? Yes. P-R-E-N-C, presence. His presence is in your present. That it? Correct? Even though you may not know or it may not seem like he is there, this is how I describe what I went through. It's going to be in the book. I'm trying to write a book. I call it the dark room of grief. When you enter into it, the shades are down. You can't see. You ain't never been there before. It's dark. You don't have no clue how to deal with it, okay? But on the outside, the S-O-N is still shining. You get me? You in a place you ain't never been. But God is still there. It just seems like you seem like you by yourself. That's what I'm saying to you. So now for me, the shades are coming up. But all the time, I didn't know what I was doing. I think Sahil told me I was rude. Somebody said I was rude. So I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. If I was rude to you, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean that at all. I just didn't know what I was doing. All you can do it now, forgive me. It's going to be in your future, and God's going to deal with you. Because I didn't mean no harm. Just like I know you didn't mean no harm trying to help me. You just didn't know what you was doing. Didn't mean a bit of harm. Neither one of us meant any harm. We just forgive each other. How about that? And so here's what I want to close with. Y'all, if we live with what we can deal with right now, we'll be all right. Just deal with what's going on in your life today. Don't let that past stuff come in here and drive how you behave. I'm going to show you that tonight at afternoon, sir. But here's the last part. God is always a story. I'll tell you a story as I close. Let me give an invitation here. It was a young Indian boy. He was a young Indian boy. And the young Indian boy, he wanted to be a warrior. He wanted to be like his daddy, you know, when them Apache, you know, warrior. Y'all seen them warriors, haven't you? Huh? Yeah, so a young boy, he wanted to be like his daddy. He seen his daddy being a great warrior. And he told his daddy, I want to be a warrior. I want to be like you. He said, son, okay, what's an initiation in our tribe is you got to go out in the woods and stay all night. And the young boy thinking, man, all night in the woods? Yes, sir. All right, I don't want to go, daddy. You got to go. You want to be a warrior like your daddy? You got to go to the woods tonight. The young son, he started leaving the house. And looking back, he was going, he realized, do I really want to do this? Look back, daddy standing on the porch watching him. Son going to the woods. Got out in the woods. Son, sit down by the tree. Get ready for the night to fall. The night start falling. Creatures of the night start howling, calling. The boy got scared. He was scared. And then toward, as got through the night, creature, he was sitting there. He heard something coming toward him. He heard the rustling of the leaves. He said, "Who is that? Who there?" The noise came closer. The object came closer to him. The boy was getting nervous. "Who's that? Who's that?" He heard a voice. He said, "Son, it's me." He said, "That you, Daddy?" He knew that boy. "Yes, son, it's me. How long you been there?" He said, "I've been there all night long watching over you." I'm saying, y'all, when we get down to it, even though God might not seem to be there, and we might not see him, but in the major dangers of life, God is always there. That's what he said. "I've been there all night long. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you." And somebody here today, you need to let your past go. You need to let God forgive you your past. And the way God forgives your past is God wants me to teach you that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. His son came. They beat him brutally. They murdered him on a cross. He suffered on the cross of Calvary. He had nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And he hung there 6 hours in pain and agony. And he suffered so we could be forgiven. He suffered so we could live in the present. He suffered so we'd have a future with God. He suffered so we didn't have to take our past to judgment. He suffered so we could be forgiven. He suffered so others could be forgiven. He hung on the cross. He stayed on the cross. He didn't give up on the cross. He hung in there on the cross. He shed blood on the cross. And on the cross, it was at the cross, where he gave us release from the pains of life. It was on the cross where he would give us peace of mind, a clear conscience, that I don't have to live with my mistakes and my failures in my past, because God said, "Your sins I remember no more." Forgiveness of sins is everything you ever done in your past. It's not a forgiveness of the future. Forgiveness is your past wrongs. And what did God want you to do? He wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that he loved you that much. He wants you to believe that his son acted on the cross without seeing him. He wants you to believe that your sins can be washed away this morning. He wants you to know you can have a new beginning. A new start. And you can live in the present. It's all right now. You're okay right now. God is with you right now. And your hope and trust that he'll be with you in the future. And if you're here today, you're not a Christian. You got to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross. Was buried in a tomb. And that he resurrected with power. And he gave the command to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. If you believe that this morning, you hear it, you believe it, you repent. Say, "I don't want to leave like this, Brother Brooks. I want my past forgiven. I want to leave a free man. I want to leave a free woman. I want to live forgiveness of my past. I want to live in the present going forward." Well, you got to believe enough to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "If you confess me before me, I confess you before my Father. You deny me, I'll deny you." After that, we must baptize you right now and today, not tomorrow, because tomorrow ain't promised. That's why this old idea we're waiting to baptize don't even make no sense. You baptize people right now. We baptize you this morning, now, today, 2 Corinthians 6:2. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the acceptable time. Today. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. You best be saved today. Today is when you be saved. And you do that by coming to the front And we're going to ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? You say, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going to baptize you as commanded by the Lord. He's going to wash away your sins, give you the Holy Spirit, add you to the church of Christ, and you live faithful unto death. God, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. To die in the Lord is to die in his body. To die in his body is to die in his church, because there's one body and one church. That's the same. So if you didn't die in the church, you didn't die in the Lord, which means you didn't die in his body, so you ain't blessed when you died. This is a good lesson. Last thing, you got to live faith of Church of Christ. You got to look at your past and say, you know, why am I still the same as I was back then? Why haven't I repented of that sin? When do you stop? At some point, you got to stop to get forgiveness. You can't just get forgiveness and keep living in sin. You got to stop it. That's called repentance. And the Bible teaches us to confess our faults. Pray for one another. Why? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So somebody need to come to be baptized. Somebody need to come because you want to make a confession to the church and ask God to forgive you. We'll pray with you. Or maybe you need prayer. You just want prayer. You can write it on the card. You can come to the front. You can do what you need to do. It's your life. It's right now. It's yours. You can do what you want to do with it. Many people walk away from God in their presence, but at some point God going to say, that's enough. He's going to say, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. And then he's going to say, time ends here. And that's wherever the tree fall, that's where it lay. Amen? I want you to come. We got a song of encouragement. We want you to come. We want those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We want you to come. We're going to baptize you this morning. Members of the church, you've been going through a whole lot of things. I want you to take that thing and do this one thing. Forget it. Neglect it and live in your present now. Take your experience. Commit to don't run from your pain. Face it, deal with it, and then take it and use it to help somebody else. That's what God expects from you, because you don't give God glory if you're not willing to help nobody else. Because you're selfish. That's what he's saying. How you expect for me to forgive you and you don't want to help the other person? He expects us to take our experiences, deal with them with him, and then take it and bless the life of somebody else. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs your experience. They ain't never had it. Somebody needs you. God says that we are to love one another. And that means love them enough to help them. That's what we do in the church. That's what we do as Christians. That's what we do. We're a family, right? Amen. Amen. I thank y'all for helping me. Y'all have been such a blessing to many, many, many of you have blessed me. It's a good time for me to say thank you so much. I want to say that. I want you to come today if you want to get baptized. Come for prayer. Come for whatever the case may be. You want to come. Come to the Lord. We ask you to come as together we stand and sing.